Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Well, good morning. It's great to be with you again on this beautiful fall morning. For those of you visiting this morning, welcome. And we're glad you're here. We have some doozies of readings this week. It was tough writing this sermon. Each reading could really be a full sermon. The gospel text could be three separate sermons, if I really wanted to. So I had a hard time looking through the reading. And I really didn't want to preach on the gospel. But the more I read over it and prayed and thought about it, the more I realized that I probably should. Because I found in my short time as an ordained priest that when I really, really don't want to preach on a given text, it's a good sign that that's the text I need to preach on. Unfortunately. And frustratingly, I'll say. So in this morning's gospel text, we're confronted with a Jesus we don't like very much. I may be speaking out of turn. I may be able to only speak for me, but it's a Jesus I don't care for that much. If your hand causes you to stumble or sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to stumble or sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. Harsh. Someone at the second service said extreme. This is definitely not Jesus meek and mild, holding a little lamb, welcoming the little children to himself. What are we supposed to do with this Jesus? In our opening prayer, we prayed that God declares his almighty power, chiefly in showing mercy and pity. And yet. This is one of those pesky passages in the Bible that no one follows. Even the literalists and the fundamentalists are not walking around cutting off their hands or plucking out eyeballs, right? This is one of those passages that everyone assumes is metaphor. It has to be. If you've read The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood or seen the new television adaptation, you know that the book is set in a fictional dystopian future where a fundamentalist Christian government comes to power and they punish people using Jesus's prescribed measures. They cut off arms and legs and hands and feet and pluck out eyeballs. But that's fiction, right? It's pure fantasy. It's so extreme that we put it in science fiction. It doesn't really happen. One of the only times in the gospel that Jesus gives a very clear directive and a very clear prescription for what to do, and we write it off immediately. It's grotesque. It's extreme. So here's a personal confession. If I am perfectly honest, I really want to take Jesus at his word. The achiever in me that always wants to be perfect, to get the grade, to do my best, wants so badly to overcome all those things that cause me to stumble and to sin. I want to be perfect. Our society tells us if we just try hard enough, we can do anything. There's even Christian churches that preach a gospel where they say, if you don't have what you want, it's because you're not praying hard enough. You're not working hard enough. I want to read this scripture through that lens. I want so badly to not be a sinner that I would do anything I could to achieve that goal. Remember, Paul says, I don't understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do what I don't want. That's been my experience of stumbling, and sin. Using Jesus' extreme language, I can say I would tear out my eyes if it meant that I would never sin again. If it meant that I would not fall into the same patterns over and over and over again. But the truth is, I know myself. And I know that I don't change that much. This may be true of you, too. I thought I would outgrow my patterns of sin and stumbling when I graduated from college. Maybe when I finished grad school. Or maybe when I got married, then I would finally stop sinning and stumbling and doing all the same dumb things I've always done. I thought maybe when I got ordained, then I would be free. So you know some priests. I thought maybe when I had my first child, something would change. I wouldn't be selfish. I wouldn't fall into these same patterns, say dumb things, do dumb things. And yet here I am, a sinner nonetheless, doing the same things. I'm dealing with some of the same sinful tendencies and stumbling blocks that I've always dealt with, and I'm a priest, a holy roller. I've checked every box. Climbed the ladder. I've gone as high as I can go. You know, I have the distinct feeling that if I were to tear out both of my eyes, I would still be a sinner, just a blind sinner. My sin would change, sure, but I would still be sinning. If I were to cut off both my hands, I would find a way to sin. I would find a way to stumble and fall into the same selfish patterns. I would. Our psalm says that the law of God is perfect. But it always convicts us and holds us to that perfect standard. And throughout time and in our own lives, we can see that when the bar is set that high, we will never meet it. We can't. I want to, but I can't. When perfection is the goal, we know deep down that we won't achieve it. The power of the law is that it serves as a mirror for us to see clearly our predicament. We cannot save ourselves. Trying a little harder won't cure us of what ails us. This is why perhaps Jesus does not call us to eliminate sin through our own effort. Jesus is not preaching behavior modification. We can try, but we'll fail. In big ways or little ways. We'll end up with no hands or no feet. We'll end up blind and bloody and waiting for some kind of good news. Some kind of balm to cure our sin-sick soul. And it's in this moment of desperation, when we've tried everything, that the good news speaks. That grace can be heard. Grace is what happens when you've ripped out both your eyes and find that you're still a sinner. That you can't do it. For it's in that moment of despair that we realize that Jesus comes to those at the end of their rope. Elsewhere in the Gospels, he says that the healthy have no need of a doctor. It's only the sick. When we find ourselves blinded by our own efforts at self-improvement, Jesus gives us new eyes to see. He promises new life, but it's only after you die. You die to your own self-improvement and striving and trying. The life with Christ is a constant dying to our attempts to save ourselves, to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. So I want to go back briefly to the beginning of the gospel text this morning, where the rogue exorcist shows up, casting out demons in Jesus' name. And John, like any good self-justifier and sinner, and like me, wants Jesus to do something about it. This man is not in the club. He doesn't have the right accreditation. He didn't get the degree. He didn't attend the meetings. He hasn't done what it takes to work power in Jesus' name. And to John's surprise, and my surprise, if I'm honest, Jesus says this man is welcome. Don't put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, Jesus says. Priest and author Robert Capon writes that when Jesus says little ones, in this context, he's not talking about children. He's referring to the rogue exorcist, the fumbling, bumbling fool who believes that Jesus is Lord and wants to follow him, even though he missed all the classes. He didn't do the reading, but he believes. The little one who tried to do right and failed. The little one with the best intentions and the worst follow-through. He's talking about you. And he's talking about me. We are the little ones. We are all the rogue exorcist. We're not quite in the club, but it doesn't keep us from trying. We press out on our own and work to be something that we're not. Don't put a stumbling block before one of these little ones, Jesus says. Let them come to me. These little losers, these lost fools, these are the ones who know how much they need Jesus. The sick know that they need a doctor. The blind and the lame and the maimed know that they cannot do anything on their own. And they are the ones I can work with, Jesus says. They are the ones I can help. We spend so much time running and striving and reaching, using our hands and our feet and our eyes to maybe earn salvation, to work a little harder, to get ourselves out of the hole that we find ourselves in. And instead, Jesus invites us to come unto him and rest, to take his yoke upon us. Our abilities, as limited as they may be, often trick us into thinking we can save ourselves. And Jesus says we must die to this idea. We must let it die. So this morning, if you find yourself convinced that you are all right, that you can make it alone, thank you very much, that you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps, Jesus says, go ahead and pull your eyes out, and then maybe you can see. Amen.